From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And welcome into the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. This is Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shattuck with John Osier. Plenty to get to today, John. But, boy, nice buzz around the building and around the city after the Jaguars draft.
Well, in a perfect lineup today. Did you have something to do with that? Pete Prisco, David Caldwell, both know a lot about the draft. It'll be fun. And, yeah, there is a buzz. And, you know, I've been covering drafts for this team back here for, you know, fifth one. And this is easily, you know, you had Blake Bortles last year. That's a big deal when you get a quarterback. Yeah. But in terms of the praise, in terms of how you felt about this draft coming out of it, all through it, haven't seen a more positive one in 5 years.
Plenty to get to today, of course. Pete Prisco will join us, CBSSports.com senior NFL columnist. We'll play a game of this or that with Brian Sexton. He'll join us. And the general manager of the Jaguars, Dave Caldwell, scheduled to join us about 1:15 today. You can get in on the show at Jaguars, at J.P. Shattuck, at John Osier, at Jags Voice. And let's welcome in our first guest today, CBSSports.com senior NFL columnist, Pete Prisco. Pete, how are you?
What's up, fellas?
I know you're, we're just post-draft here.
He's tweeting as he's coming on our show, by the way. I just saw a tweet pop up. Come on, Pete. Pay attention now.
Oh, I can. You know me with my attention deficit disorder, I can do about 8 different things.
It seems like you like the Jaguars draft overall, and just reading your thoughts online earlier today, that maybe A.J. Cann might be the pick you like the most.
Well, I love Fowler. I mean, you know, I initially, back in March, I wrote, don't be surprised if Fowler's the number 3 pick, and I wrote a whole column about it, and then I kind of backed away from it, thinking that if Leonard Williams was there, they might take him. And personally, I would have taken Leonard Williams, but I get why they took Fowler. I think Fowler's a heck of a football player. So the top pick starts there. That's a heck of a pick right there out of the gate. You know, Yeldon to me, back is high, but they need one, and he's got some, you know, I always say he's one of those guys that you never get a shot on. And to me, that's important in the NFL. And then I love Cann. You know, the week before the draft, I was watching some South Carolina tape, and I'm looking at this kid, and he's just mauling dudes on the line of scrimmage, and he is nasty, tough, physical, and it wouldn't at all shock me to see him the starting left guard right out of the gate.
How much the day 3 picks, Pete, were some of the ones that really caught people's eye? Usually those are guys who you're excited about on day 3, and then once the rookie season comes around, they're realistically developing, waiting for next year. But do you think the day 3 guys on this team can contribute?
Oh, I don't think there's any question that they can contribute. I mean, I look up and down that line, and I say, you know, Michael Bennett, I always put that team out, the better-than team, the guys I like better than the scouts, and he was on that team. I mean, he's a guy, when I look at him, I say, you know what, he's a tough, you know, up-the-field, aggressive defensive lineman. Now, he played with a little dinged up a little bit late in the season, but he, you know, if you watch the national championship game, he's making plays in there. I think that's great value. I was astounded that he was there when they took him. You know, because I thought he'd be a second or third round pick. So that's great value. And Rashad Greene, a guy they probably were going to take, you know, in some mocks, as Dave said, they might have taken him in the 3rd round, and they end up getting him where he did. The safety's intriguing to me. And the reason I say that is I know there are analytic guys out there that say he's got the best cover range in the league and of the safeties in the league. But you know how I am with analytics. I'm not so sure he has the range that they try and portray him to have. But that's not to say he can't get better at it. And he, you know, he's not Cyprian in terms of, I think Cyprian has to be a box safety. This kid could develop in the back end, but that you know, it was a thin position, John. There weren't a lot of guys there. And so I think they had to kind of force that one a little bit.
Well, that and linebacker, there just weren't any anywhere. I mean, that was kind of the theme of the draft on defense, right?
Yeah, and that's why they went so hard after, you know, Devin McCourty in free agency. I mean, look, those guys don't come around often. I still think there were some, you know, safety. Josh Shaw was a guy, you know, I know Cincinnati took him. I think he's going to go inside and play some safety for them. I think those are the kind of guys that maybe you might have made a move on. But, you know, Sample's a young player who's pretty experienced at the major level of football, and he did some good things. He was clearly the best safety on their team, even though before the draft, a lot of people thought the other safety, Holloman, would go before him.
I had somebody write me, Pete, they were complaining that Yeldon didn't have the breakaway speed of Fred Taylor. And I kind of laughed. You're not going to find that, you know, except every 20, 25 years. But tell me about Yeldon in terms of maybe he's not the breakaway guy, but he seems to be a guy that you can get. He's going to get the most out of his runs, and he's going to have a lot of mid-length runs, and that seems more valuable in this league, doesn't it?
And he gets the ball out of the backfield. I mean, you know, that, you know, they split him out at times and made him a receiver and created matchup problems that way. I mean, that's what you want in your NFL back nowadays, the ability to go catch the football out of the backfield, stand in there and block against the blitz, which he will do, and, you know, be able to carry the ball, you know, 15, 18, 19, 20 times a game and end up with, you know, 5 yards per carry. And he's capable of doing all that. I'm not a running back guy. I love Gurley and I love Gordon. I wouldn't have taken him in the first round, but I think they're really good players. But how much difference between Gordon and Yeldon is there? And that's the question that will be answered as we play out the thing. But I think when you look at what they did, that's a heck of a pick. And the other thing, too, John, when he was at Alabama, and JP will tell you this, mm-hmm. I mean, there were backs all around them.
Yep.
I mean, the Henry kid might be a mid-first-round pick next year. I mean, so it's always a rotation type of thing at Alabama. But he's gonna come in here, and I think he'll end up being the starting running back.
Certainly. So let me get this straight. You wouldn't have taken Todd Gurley in the first round. I'm not a running back guy either, but I would have had to take him in the first round.
If I'm a back-end team, yes. If I'm, for example, if I'm the Arizona Cardinals, I need a back, yes. If I'm one of those teams at the back end that needs a back, yes. But if I'm the St. Louis Rams, absolutely not. And that goes back to my theory on when you evaluate the Rams draft. You know what Jeff Fisher's doing? He's trying to turn them into the Titans. Run it, run it, run it. And you know how he says, run it a little harder. So I just don't think that that's what you win with anymore in the NFL. Sustainable success comes with the passing game. If you have the passing game like the Arizona Cardinals do and you need the running game, then okay. San Diego, they have a passing game. They need the running game. It's okay. But if you don't have a passing game that can compete on a regular basis, I think you're asking for trouble if you draft a running back that high.
Is Yeldon the starting running back this year?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You don't pick a guy in the second round and have him sit on the bench. He comes in, he's a running back. Look, it's the easiest position to play. If he can pick the blitz pickups up right away, which is, you know, always the tough thing for the running backs in the NFL, if he does that, there's no doubt he's the starting running back.
Pete, how do you grade a draft class, especially now, a few days after it? There's all these grades coming out, A's, A-pluses. You don't really know until like 2 or 3 years down the line, right?
Yeah, and when you look at it and say, you know what, we got to grade it because people want it, and so you do it, you know? And what they do is you grade them, and then I always go back through. I'm one of those guys that I'll go back 3 years later and look at my own grades and laugh at them and make fun of myself because, look, I'll get them wrong, but it doesn't cost me my job. If the teams get them wrong, it costs them their job. So it's fun to do. Like, I look back at the – I did a look back at the 2012 draft recently, and – I gave Seattle a bad grade.
And look where you and everybody else.
Yeah, and everybody else did too. And you know, when they drafted Russell Wilson, they had just traded for you know, Matt Flynn and paid him. So okay, we'll give him a good, now looking back on it, hell of a grade for Russell Wilson, big demerit for Matt Flynn. Okay? You can't get it both ways. So
yeah, but Pete, you're the only guy still giving Russell Wilson an F.
No, that's an A grade. There's no doubt about that. They got great value for him. Would I give him crap for it? Because I don't think he's a top 10 quarterback like most people do.
What do you do now, Pete, that the draft is over?
I got to start. You know, Super Bowl 50 is a big production at CBS this year, so I got to start working on a lot of little video things I'm doing and sit downs I'm doing, and one of them actually involves the '96 Jacksonville Jaguars. Ooh. You know, it's like all stories from the NFL in the last 50 years that people would care about and are interesting. And the 96 Jaguars might be one of the most, as John and I and myself well chronicled in Jags to Riches, it might be one of the weirdest, strangest season in the history of the league. So I'm going to sit down with Tony Baselli, hopefully Mark Brunell, and maybe a couple other guys and do like an hour-long little thing on them. So,
you need a copy of the book, Pete, or are you all right on that?
Oh, I got one.
All right, good deal.
One. You know, you can get them for about 3 cents, and so you just log on, find them anywhere for 3 cents, John.
You can get them cheaper than that in my garage, Pete.
Pete, it's always a pleasure, my man. Appreciate it.
What are you guys going to do for the next 3 months? Well, come on, you got a mini camp, and then, I mean, you got a rookie camp, and then OTA days, and you got a we're all you know what this is called? It's called manufacturing time. You got to manufacture stuff.
No doubt, no doubt. Shattuck's doing about what he did before the draft. It's about the same.
Wow.
You know, it's not like the old days when we used to be able to take off some time in May and June.
Those were good days.
Yep, absolutely.
P, Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com, senior NFL columnist. We always appreciate it, man. Thank you.
All right, guys. Take care.
There he goes. Jaguars three packs are on sale now. Get the best prices and locations at EverBank. Pick any three games this season. Prices starting at $99. Visit Jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. And we welcome in senior correspondent Brian Sexton. It'll be interesting with the 96 season to hear Pete interview some folks, and you guys have some perspective on that year.
Well, sure. We actually wrote Jags to Riches with my son in his car seat right next to us on the desk, and he was 6 months old. Now he's going off to college next year. So that shows you how long ago 96 was, right?
Yeah, it feels like a long time ago, but the memories are there. I mean, it was as much fun
it was
as
fun.
I've had in this league.
I won't tell you what grade I was in 1996.
We know.
But draft over, mini camp coming up. As you said, as Pete was saying, it's that time of year. Hey, the rookies are on the field. You finally get to see them run around. But what does that really mean coming up this weekend in the grand scheme of things?
Not much.
Yeah, I mean,
it's good for the coaches to get these guys in here and get to know them a little
right?
bit.
Yeah, they're throwing a little bit, catching a little bit, and running around in shorts. And what you want as a GM or a scout who's drafted these guys is when you walk out there, you want to come off the field making sure you haven't seen anybody who you say, whoa, he doesn't belong here. Because every now and then you see that.
Well, you remember 1997? Anthony Cesario?
Yes.
They drafted him in the third round as an offensive tackle out of Colorado State. And as we walked off the field, Bocelli said, who's that 79 guy? And we said, that's a third round pick. He goes, yeah, he's terrible. He can't play at all. Can't even get out of his stance. You hope not to have that.
True.
It is time for a game we call
This or That
standings are quite in favor of John Osier.
Oh,
I've lost count.
Please.
I think it's 5
Can
to 1.
Can I just point something out? From the very first time we did this and we talked about the draft, I said that it would go quarterback 1 and 2. And I was the only one that said it all the way through. You got to go back and amend some of these things. It's like the draft, right? This or that is kind of like the draft. You can't just judge it and immediately give it. You got to wait and see how things play out.
It's 2015. There's no looking back. It's the Twitter age. 6-1.
That's good. Information now.
Information now.
Wait, I won one?
Yeah.
Oh, hey,
you won
I won one.
Congratulations. All right, ready?
We're ready. Number one.
That rosary came in handy.
The best pick.
Kidding me?
Of rounds 2 through 7. What's the best pick for this Jaguars team?
Not I'll say
Fowler.
Mike Bennett. You know, you've got a star. You got a star. There you go. Yeah, I'm wrong again. You got a star. Let me get out of here so he can sit down and I'll come back and do this.
Finish the game. Come on.
I'll go with Mike Bennett. You know, you got a star defensive tackle that is coming back from an ACL. You got a guy in Bennett that was a very effective 3-technique tackle. Trust me, I've got an opinion now, Dave. And so to get him in here, get him in the rotation so that you don't have to worry or force the issue with Marks and give him time to come back. And I'll say it again, now that you're here too, you guys did a heck of a job targeting the guys that you wanted in the draft and bringing them in. They knew who they wanted and thought they might be able to get them. And so you're talking about a guy in Bennett that they brought in here for a visit and came through to them at the 6th round. I thought it was great value.
I liked AJ Cann because I think it was a case where you already had a starter there. You already had guys who could play the position. But all of a sudden, you saw a case where this franchise now can start going after guys who you don't absolutely have to have the following year. I think that's a big step. That's why I like that pick.
Brian, you're trying to suck up to the boss so you lose, Brian. And,
I lose all the time.
John gets the first question there. Number two, who will make the biggest impact immediately of the picks? John?
I'm going to say Yeldon. A, because he's a running back, it's a position that he can come in and play right away. I think he'll wind up being the starter. I think Fowler will also have a big impact, but I'm going to go with Yeldon for now.
Yeah, he's going with the easy one. I'll go with Cann. You know, a guy that comes in with power and improves the running game, and I'll say it starts up front.
All right, we'll give it to Brian. 1-1, going into question number three. Now that free agency.
By the way, that was just random, and you know it. You know that he's just flipping a coin, but he flips it twice for you.
Now that free agency and the draft are over, what's a fair expectation for the team this year? No pressure with the boss in the room.
No. We said this the other day in Roundtable. I think we're both of the same mind. And that is that they are in the conversation after Thanksgiving. Now, you decide how many wins they have when they get there, right? But I think that San Diego game is going to be an important game for where they are in December. So, from my perspective, I want to be talking about where they are relative to the wild card the week after Thanksgiving, and I think that's a fair expectation.
And I think we said it's a matter of there being some games that could be crucial at that time. I just go back to the last couple of years as well. You want to see improvement. You want to see them more competitive against the elite teams. They took a step toward that last year. I think they take another step this year and push for 500.
Brian Sexton is a winner today. How about that?
There you go.
Shocking upset.
I was going to coast.
Can you come back next week too?
Proportions.
I was going to coast in my lead for a while.
I'm out of here now. Now you can get Dave in here and you can mock me.
Of course, rookie minicamp coming up this weekend. See the newest Jags Friday and Saturday at the Florida Blue practice fields. 1:10 to 3:10 each day. Register for a free ticket. Jaguars.com/rookie minicamp. JP Shadrick, John Osier, and Dave Caldwell, a busy media man today.
I think we should replay the game right now with Dave.
Yeah, okay. This or that. Okay, we were just playing this or that.
This or that? All right.
Yeah, that's all fine.
Number one. No, I'm kidding. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Doing great. This is my last media session of the year.
Oh, we won't talk to you
Never.
For a long time.
Ever. Not till the season's over.
Well, it's good to have you. We appreciate it.
I got to start you off with this. Obviously, A's all across the board from the media. I don't know how much you read that.
Somebody told me Hayes is the only person that gave us a B.
Hayes and...
Come on, Hayes. Really?
Ryan O'Halloran as well, but that's unexpected. Right, but knowing what you know about what people like me and Prisco and Mel Kiper really know, does it worry you at all to get A's from us?
It's a little bit scary. It's a little bit scary. No, you guys do your work too. And I think it's better than getting D's and F's, right? Or D's for degrees. But no, we're excited about it. And we feel like that we did a good job in targeting our personnel staff, our coaching staff, and they were dialed in this process. And, somebody asked me if there was a lot of pressure on us this year for the draft. I said, yeah, every year there is, and more this year than in the past years just because we want to be better than we were last year. And we felt like we had a good draft last year. We felt like we had a good draft the year before. And next year there will be even more pressure regardless of what the season brings us. We're always going to put more and more pressure on us.
I know you're a big Twitter guy, Dave. Let's go to Twitter questions. At Hodari11 asking, did you go about picking Fowler the same way as Bortles, and was there as strong of a consensus in that pick? It seemed like there was because it took you like 2 minutes to put the pick in.
Yeah, there was a strong consensus, especially amongst our defensive coaching staff and our personnel department. We did have probably a little bit more discussion as to what position we were going to go in. With Blake, we felt like we were pretty locked in last year at the quarterback position at the third pick. This was more of inside rusher, outside rusher, or possibly somebody on offense.
This was such a lauded draft, but I'm curious, as it was going off the board and as you were engineering it over the weekend, did you have as good a feeling about it? Maybe compared to last year, which was also a good draft. Was there a difference? Did you feel as good about it?
Yeah, we felt this year that we had more flexibility. So we were able to draft, like you talked about, the A.J. Mm-hmm. Conn pick and the James Sample pick. May have not been glaring needs for us at the time, but just felt like that they were really good football players and that the value was great. Rashad Green in the fifth round, Mike Bennett in the sixth round. And, you know, our D-line was probably one of the best aspects of our team last year. And now we get better with Mike Bennett and just adding competition along the offensive line too.
Did you feel like... And I guess this has to happen in a draft. Like you caught a cut, like you caught a break when those guys slid a little bit on day three.
Yeah,
I have a little luck.
Well, it's a little luck is always good, and I think the fact that you don't know the other teams. You know, a lot of teams draft for need, and sometimes teams have to fill their need. And we felt like once we got through the first two picks that, and if we came out with Dante and TJ, that we could go and roll with wherever the draft took us.
Another Twitter question talking about competition now. It's always Gus Bradley's theme, but one position, if you had to pick one, that still needs more competition. Is there one still standing out?
Our depth at linebackers probably, we probably like a little bit more depth there in terms of if there's going to be six guys to make the team and coming up with, if you have one injury, then you get a little thin. I think that's one area. And for the most part, the rest of them, I think we're going to have good competition. It's going to be a tough cut at offensive line. It's going to be a tough cut at defensive line, receiver, safety, corner. really across the board, running back. So there's going to be players that we let go at the end of the training camp that are going to have good careers.
It just wasn't much of a linebacker year in the draft, I guess.
No, we kind of identified that there'd be five guys, and we were hoping that one would have made it to the third round, but thought it was pretty unlikely.
As you sit here, and I'll give credit where it's due, Mike Dempsey asked you this morning on Jaguars Today, starting your off-season plan, you had needs on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume right now you feel like your plan was executed.
Yeah, we felt good about it. You know, we came out of, free agency, just for instance, like the tight end position. We said, well, we need a pass receiving tight end and a blocking tight end. Well, we were able to get Mercedes back to fill that need, and then Julius Thomas, and then we overfilled with Ben Koyak in the seventh round, who could do a little bit of both. So we felt good about that. We wanted an inside slot guy and a punt returner. We wanted a pass rusher. A young running back, and we filled all those needs. Another safety, we filled that need, and then competition along the O-line and O-line depth, and we did that, and then defensive line depth. And so we felt good about a lot of the needs we filled. And signing Jared Odrick and Jeremy Parnell, we felt like those were the two key signings for us in free agency that allow us to do what we want to do in the draft.
In your position, you look at a draft different than a fan does, but – what do you realistically expect out of a rookie class? And are you close to where you can have a reasonable expectation out of a rookie class now, if you follow me?
Yeah, I think we're closer, much more this year than we have been in the past, where you look throughout the year. Last year we were starting 9-10 rookies at one point in time, and some teams weren't even starting. We had zero or one, and that was really only out of injury need. So I think that's where you want to be. I think you want your first round pick at some point in time to be starting throughout the year or playing a prominent role in a rotation. Your second round pick maybe coming in there in a rotational mode, and the rest of them, 3 through 7, kind of playing out of need or injury, or if they just really come along quickly and they beat somebody out, that's great. But don't want to have them start like we've had to in the last 2 years.
Let's get a couple more questions from fans in off Twitter. We'll talk about one of those draft picks, Michael Bennett. He pulled his hamstring at the pro day. Is he 100% healthy now? And what do you expect from him this weekend especially?
Well, when our doctors and our trainers get a hold of him on Thursday, we'll find out. When he came on his visit, we felt like he was close, still had a little ways to go. So we'll see where it's at. If he's not 100%, he'll be close to it. We'll be wise with him this weekend and then get him ready and make sure that by the time he comes into training camp, he'll be 100%.
Another injury question regarding a wide receiver from last year who was a rookie. How is Allen Robinson's foot?
He's doing very well. He's jogging now. He's running and no setbacks, and everything's really good. So he's right on schedule, and you may see him maybe at the last mini camp. If not, he'll be ready to go training camp for sure.
One final Twitter question. How are we addressing the special teams issues from last season? And were they as much of an issue as they were made to be?
Yeah, I don't think they were as much of an issue as they made to be. I felt like we covered well, in kickoff and in punt. I think occasionally you had a couple issues. I think that the signing of A.J. Kahn and Jeremy Parnell with the field goal block protection that we had a little bit of issue, it's going to help for us. And I think, guys like Dan Scuda, Sergio Brown, even though they may play prominent roles on the defense, they're A-plus special teamers. So our coverage units should be a lot better. And then the influx of this youth that we just signed is going to help us too. A guy like Rashad Green on punt returns and possible kick returns, and using D-Rob on some kick return stuff.
You've become known for your pre-draft poker face and very low-key guy, obviously. But at some point during these 3 days, was there one pick you got excited about? I remember Denard Robinson a few years ago, you really liked that pick because you had liked him for a long time. Was there one that you just said, yeah, we got this one?
I'm excited about Neil Sterling. And not so much just because I want to see how he competes at this level. Coming from Monmouth, and I know a lot of people probably aren't giving him a chance, but we feel like he's got some measurables there where he can come in and athleticism and his size and his speed and have a real good chance of making this team. So I'm kind of excited. I know we took 7 guys out of major conferences, major schools, and that's the one guy we didn't. So I'm just kind of excited to see how those, another guy like Demetrius McCray that we took in the 7th round a couple years ago has ended up being a starter for us.
Sterling's a big guy too.
Yeah, he's a big guy and he's athletic and he dominated that level of competition, which is what you want to look for.
And you've talked about this before. You tend to lean towards bigger school guys who performed on a grander scale. It's, in general, kind of where you look.
Yeah, in general, that's kind of where we look. But we're not afraid to take a smaller school guy. And, you know, Jonathan Ciprian played at Florida International. That, you know, not a you know, big conference powerhouse, although they play, you know, high level competition. And and same with Demetrius McCray, and those two picks worked out for us.
When you look at, you know, your big board on your wall, the Jaguars depth chart and the roster, you like where you are now?
We do. We still have a ways to go. I mean, by no means are we ever going to be satisfied with where we're at. We're always going to look to upgrade a roster, and we owe it to the, you know, 53 guys in our locker room and our coaches to find the best players out there and continue to upgrade it, and obviously to the fans and to Duval County to make sure that, you know, they have a team that they can be proud of.
But this has been your vision a little bit, to be at this point now. And I assume what you've done fits with what you thought you'd be able to do a couple years ago.
Yeah, I think so. I know that the first 2 years we were going to, you know, try to stack a couple good draft classes together, and that if you could stack a couple good decisions in the draft, and then, you know, in year three, fill with some bigger market free agents, and then go in and then next year still have the ability to add another big free agent class in the off season, and then hopefully have a window there and for 3 or 4 or 5 years that you can be successful.
Let's finish with this preview this weekend for us. Rookies running around the field for the first time. You get a chance to see everybody. Who do you expect? Maybe even the undrafted guys to kind of stand out this week.
Yeah, I think it'll be exciting. I think guys like Nick Marshall will come in and compete just like they did at the Senior Bowl. And so I think it'll be good competition around. We got quite a bit of workout guys coming in too. I don't know the exact number quite yet. And it'll be fun. And, you know, see guys like Dante Fowler and TJ Yeldon and get your first glimpse at them. So it should be a good weekend. If you want to take a break from the TPC, come on out and check them out.
Dave, we appreciate it. I know it's your last interview for a whole year, so yeah. We'll talk to you next year.
Yeah, no. I'm sure you guys will talk to me before then.
Dave Caldwell, Jaguars general manager, good enough to join us today. Jaguars radio tomorrow night, Jaguars Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. Tony Boselli, Jeff Lagerman, myself, tomorrow at 6 on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Our thanks to Pete Prisco, of course, and Dave Caldwell, the general, for joining us.
Yeah, and, you know, not a whole lot beyond what he's been saying ever since the draft, which is that they liked how it played out. They had a plan, and for the first time since they've been here, they were able to pick, I think, how he wanted to pick, which is not necessarily having to go after needs. I've said it many times since the draft. That's the defining moment of this draft, is the fact that they did not have to go reach for this outside linebacker, this starter, this thing here. They were able to draft players that they wanted. I think you heard him say it. A lot of teams draft for needs. Well, when you're around teams that are drafting for needs, all of a sudden a guy slips to you that can really play. They hope that's what they got in Rashad Green and different players like that. So you expected him to be pleased with it, and he is.
Sorry you lost this or that today, John.
Well,
we'll work on
it. We'll go back over the tape.
Yeah, we'll work on it next week. Our thanks to Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com senior NFL columnist, Dave Caldwell, Brian Sexton, John Osier. For everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.